This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple, Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Hello, everyone. My name is Charles Mills, health reporter for HeartWise Ministries. Chronic illness is never a welcome guest in any life. It's a bothersome visitor that just doesn't seem to leave, which can bring about many physical and mental changes equally unwelcomed. If you are one of the millions of people who are living with a persistent pain or debilitating condition, stay tuned. Our guest today offers some practical and spiritual life-altering advice. His book is entitled Living Well with Chronic Illness, and I'm proud to have him with us on the line today. Richard Chu is a former neurophysiologist, EMT, and stress management consultant. He's also an ordained deacon and chaplain in the Archdiocese of New York, providing pastoral counseling to patients at Bellevue Hospital and the Visiting Nurse Service Inpatient Hospice. Richard Chu, welcome to HeartWise.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. It's wonderful to be with you.
Let's begin with the basic, Richard. What do you consider a chronic illness?
A chronic illness is an illness that cannot be cured. It can be treated in many cases, but it cannot be cured.
Okay, it cannot be cured. In other words, what is going to be for the remainder of your life. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, okay. Now, anyone with a chronic illness will say that it's very hard to see beyond the suffering. Yet, you tell us right at the start of your book to expand our vision. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that there is the disease and there's the illness, which are the symptoms. Quite often we can ameliorate, we can reduce the symptoms. And the result of that is to be mentally, physically, and spiritually healthier.
And I have to say, knowing people who have chronic conditions, that being any kind of positive, being any kind of hopeful for the future is pretty hard and under those circumstances. How do you overcome that?
Well, I think we would begin by looking at it's a journey. And the beginning is when you receive a diagnosis of a chronic illness, there's a flood of emotions that come up, what I call negative emotions, fear, grief, anxiety, and all these add to one's stress level. And high levels of stress are very harmful to one's health. They only make it worse beyond what the disease is.
In other words, the reaction that we usually have for a chronic condition actually exacerbates the chronic condition. It makes it worse.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Okay, all right. Now, of course, you know that fear is a great part of that. You mentioned that fear. That seems to be the hardest to overcome. We are afraid of what's going to happen. We are afraid of what's going to happen to us. We're afraid of what's going to happen to our family. Is there something we can do to mitigate the fear right off the top? When we have the announcement to us, you have this chronic condition. Is there anything we can do right that day to start mitigating that fear?
Well, yes, I call it the stop and listen process. As soon as you receive that diagnosis and that all these emotions come out, the first thing to do is stop and take some breaths, which automatically begin to calm us down. And when we begin to calm down, that's the stop. The look part is look at the disease and where you are in terms of that illness and learn everything you can about it. It's so important that you learn everything about your illness. That's the look part. The third part of stop, look, and listen is to listen to your advisors. And people don't realize that doctors and therapists and everyone else are advisors. And it's really up to the patient to make the decisions about how the health care should be given and what the patient wants. That's the stop, look, and listen process.
What I hear you saying is that you are part of the healing. I guess healing is not the right word. What would you say instead of healing? If you have a chronic condition, you're not going to get better. Instead of looking for healing, what should we be looking for?
I think what you're looking for is to have a calm mind and a peaceful heart. That is the objective of the book, to help everyone have a calm mind and a peaceful heart.
So what you're telling us in this book is designed to calm us down, bring us peace, which then in turn brings about some type of relief from the problem we're facing. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. What it does, it allows us to focus our energies on what do we want to do with our potential. We have many gifts that we all receive, and sometimes we have honed one so well that we forget about the others. And the disease will say, oh, I'm not the person I was before. Mm-hmm. But that opens a window to other things you can be. And that's what the book tries to do.
And that's what's so hard, Richard Chu. That is what's so hard, to see beyond it, to see that there's something in life other than the illness. Because those with chronic illnesses tend to think, this is my life. This chronic illness, there's nothing beyond it. But you're saying that's not true.
That is correct. If a patient will say, what do I do now? That's all they have to do is say, what do I do now? There's so many people who are ready to help you answer that question.
That sounds hopeful to me. It sounds like you're trying to bring hope into people's lives.
Yes, and that's what happens. In the book, I describe and take each of the negative emotions, which I call excess baggage, define them in a simple way that all of us can understand, and then give practical guidelines of how to reduce or get rid of that particular negative emotion.
Give us an example here of one of the excess baggage that we tend to carry around when we're facing a chronic illness.
I think the greatest one that you mentioned before is fear. A long time ago, President Roosevelt said, during the Great Depression, there is nothing to fear but fear itself. And so often, we see things as being greater than they are. If we take a look at what is causing the fear, then we can deal with it. But if we don't look at the causes of our fear, we can't deal with it, and it continues to overwhelm us.
You hit upon something that really resonates with me. I don't like change. And as a matter of fact, I will fight against change when it comes into my life. And you're saying that may not be a good idea because your life is about to change and you can't do anything about it. How do we handle change that a chronic illness brings into our life?
I think the important thing is to look at our lives. People who don't like to deal with change are constantly looking toward the rear of the ship where they've been before. And if we can understand that actually every moment of our life we are changing, we're not the same person we were yesterday or the day before or the week after. Once we accept that we are changing and the world around us is changing, it gets people to turn around and look forward and see, oh my goodness, there are a lot of things I could do I never thought about. And that's what we do in the book, to try to explain what change is and how to deal with it.
We're talking with Richard Chu. His book, Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Practical and Spiritual Guide, is available at fine bookstores everywhere. That's Richard Chu, Living Well with Chronic Illness. And we're talking about those areas of the life that are altered when we are facing a chronic condition, a chronic illness, and when we are told this is the way it's going to be, you just have to learn to live with it. And learning to live with it is what he's trying to help us do in this book. Richard, you say life is change and change is good, and get rid of that excess baggage, such as the fear. The next step, and anyone with a chronic illness will tell you this, there is a great deal of loneliness when you have it, because you figure no one else knows about this. No one else has this problem. No one else feels what I'm feeling. No one else knows what I'm going through. How do you suggest that someone with those kinds of feelings deal with that type of loneliness?
I think that is one of the big hurdles in chronic illness, loneliness. And loneliness I define as not having a close relationship with someone else. Because when you have a close relationship, you can say things to them, and they understand. And this is what we all need, at least one good, real friend, or even spouse or something like that. And loneliness I deal with in the book by explaining that, okay, life has changed. It's up to you to overcome the loneliness and redevelop new friendships, new relationships. And I go through many different ways that you can overcome loneliness.
I'm curious about the other side of that coin. You know, we need friends. How do you be a friend? to someone who is facing a chronic illness? How it's like someone who is facing a death in the family. You're not sure what to say. How do you go into a relationship with someone who has a chronic illness and you don't want to do the wrong thing? How do you guide yourself through this?
Oh, haven't we all been in that situation?
Yes.
Where we said something wrong? I said something wrong. I still remember it 20 years later. Simply being present to someone, just being there with them and listening without trying to answer them or even try to change their mind. So often we come in as a negative situation. We say, oh, you're going to get better. You're going to get better, knowing well they're not going to get better. The true friend simply accepts what is going on and is a good listener.
We tend to want to fix things. We come into a situation and we're fixers. But this can't be fixed. That's got to be a tough sell.
Well, actually, it's not a tough sell. For instance, on the ambulance, when I was teaching EMTs, as an EMT, as one of the instructors also, and I would say to them, what's the most important medicine we have on this ambulance after we deal with the situation that we're confronted with? We come in and do our medical things. We're trained to do anything that's possible medically. But when we do finish that, and we're with the patient inside the ambulance on the way to the hospital, what's our most important medicine? They look at me. The instructors ask this important question, and the answer is very simple. Hold the patient's hand. And when you hold the patient's hand, the blood pressure goes down, the pulse rate goes down, and the patient begins to relax. That's what a friend is. Simply hold a hand. Be present. That will do it.
Wow. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, the next section of your book is inviting us to find a new meaning in life. How in the world do we do that when we have a chronic illness? A new meaning in life that is suffering, that is heading for a disaster. How do you find meaning there? We'll discover that when we continue our conversation with Richard Chu after the break, so stay tuned.
This is Kim, with my daily diary for health class, reporting what I did today to keep myself healthy. Today I ate an apple. Yes, I know. Eating an apple each day doesn't make you healthy. But when I ate that apple, I didn't eat something that would make me unhealthy. I didn't eat candy. I didn't eat something with a lot of fat in it, like a piece of meat, or foods made with a bunch of butter or oil. I didn't eat refined foods, like white rice or white flour, that don't have anything healing in them. So eating an apple is only part of the picture. What I didn't eat is just as important. I also ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. These foods have a ton of healing stuff in them, like vitamins, nutrients, and complex carbohydrates. I learned in class that complex carbohydrates, which are found in whole plant foods, are a lot healthier than simple carbohydrates, like those found in refined foods. So I eat mostly whole foods, like fruits and vegetables, not refined foods that come in cans or packages. How does this make me healthy? Well, many of my friends are kind of fat. Okay, they're very fat. Fat isn't healthy. But because I eat mostly whole foods, I'm not fat. Because I'm not giving my body anything to turn into fat, like all those calories or fatty foods. My body has the foods it needs to stay healthy and nothing more. So, when you see me eating an apple, don't just say, "Hey, Kim is eating an apple." Instead say, "Hey, look, Kim isn't eating sugary candies or foods with a lot of fat in them." See what I mean?
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Richard Chu. He is the author of Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Practical and Spiritual Guide. This book is available at bookstores everywhere, also on Amazon.com. That's Living Well with Chronic Illness. Now, Richard, you say in your book, when you begin part three, that we're supposed to find a new meaning in life. Here is a person that was just told that they have this condition, it's not going to change, they're going to be suffering with it the rest of their lives, and their life may be even shortened by it. How do you find meaning under those circumstances?
The process that I've described is three steps. The first one is to calm down and control those negative emotions and get rid of them if we can. The second part is start living a healthier life. A healthier life means that with your illness, what kinds of healthy habits would I have that will help me fight my condition, help give me strength, physical strength, and so on, and support my mental strength, which has been improved by getting rid of emotions. So if we improve the mental health and we improve the physical health, then we have room now to improve what I call spiritual health. And spiritual health, you focus on what you think is most important in your life, and then you use that tremendous energy that's available to every one of us called the human spirit.
Yes.
That energy allows us to go toward the targets that we want to move toward in our chronic illness.
As a Christian, you would know that God can play a part in someone's life. God is there to bring comfort and joy and all that. But illness has a really bad habit of masking God. You can't see him beyond the pain. You can't see him beyond the fear. So I can see why you can get rid of the fear. You'll see God clearer. But how do you get rid of the pain? How do you get rid of the uncertainty enough to see God in your life?
There's a story about a fellow named Alex in the book about how he was, he practiced Christianity.
Yes.
He was a very good Christian, and he got this disease. He got so mad at God because he thought of God as Santa Claus. If I'm a good boy, you'll give me a gift.
Yeah.
And he eventually came back when I counseled him to really think about what are your gifts? What are the gifts you still have that God has given you that you can use to move forward? And what is it that you can achieve in your lifetime with those gifts? And once I began to help him focus on the remaining gifts, he said, wow, I had a lot of potential I didn't use.
Oh, that is marvelous. In other words, during those times when we feel God is away, God really isn't away. Am I right in saying that? It's like we've moved away from him. He hasn't moved away from us. There has been something thrown up between us. God isn't gone. We just can't see him clearly. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, I think so. I think it's maturing. We grew up with it more like of a Santa Claus approach to God, and we don't mature as we grow older. Our faith doesn't mature, and it takes a crisis sometimes to suddenly take a new look at ourselves.
You know, whenever I hear someone speak of this topic and reading in your book these areas, I have to say that even Christ himself went through this on the cross. What did he say? That demonstrates that he felt separated from God.
Yes, and he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And he says, where there are two or three in my name, I'm with you.
Yes.
And so two would be a patient and a caregiver.
Oh, I like that.
And I think the caregiver is so crucial with the chronic patient.
And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, hanging on the cross, went through that very thing that you say in the book. He felt that separation, but God had not separated himself. God was there. He just couldn't see him through the pain and through the fear of what was happening to him.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
We're talking with Richard Chu. His book is Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Practical and Spiritual Guide. Now, this next section, it's actually chapter 8 of your book, Find Meaning in Your Life Story. A lot of people believe that when they have this diagnosis of a chronic illness, when they are facing this huge hurdle, they think their story's over. They think it's done. You're saying that's not quite true.
They're looking backwards. And in the chapter, I try to help them turn around and look forward and use their past life as a trampoline to spring off that using their gifts into the future. And this is where if you begin to understand that their life is not over, assuming they're not taking their last breath, there is a future. And the thing is to focus on what do you want to achieve in your future and move toward it. The key is to run a good race. That's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where we place in the race is not as important as to have run a good race. And that's what the chapter tries to do. Find ways for you to tell your story. And when you tell your story, you realize, wow, that's really amazing. I did that. So many people say that.
During the break, you and I were talking, and you mentioned that there was a difference between a doctor sitting down and talking to a patient and someone like you, a consultant or a deacon or a chaplain sitting down and talking to someone. A lot of individuals expect their doctor to sound like you, but they don't. How do you train a doctor, or should we train a doctor, or is it necessary to train doctors to sound like chaplains when they deliver this kind of news to someone?
I think it's very hard because, you know, I've been on both sides. I taught medical students, nursing students. I was an EMT for 12 years. And I understand from the medical side, what you're doing is trying to decide where the patient is with respect to the process of the disease. Mm-hmm. Every disease goes through a process. And their time is so limited because we don't have enough doctors in the United States.
Right.
I think there's a shortage of 15,000 primary care doctors. Mm-hmm. So doctors' times are very limited, and they have to focus on the disease process. On the other side is the patient's expectation of perspective, which I've been trained to look at as a deacon, as a hospital chaplain, as a caregiver, to see through the eyes of the patient. And we can't expect to train the doctor to be more pastoral because they're already doing so much. What we can do is ask the patient to be prepared for the meeting with the doctor. Write down your questions. When you ask the question, if you don't understand, be sure you ask the doctor, please explain. I didn't understand that. Bring someone with you. Two pairs of eyes, two pairs of ears are much better because then it's more likely when you go away from the appointment, from the consult, that you and your friend, their persons with you, can discuss, what did the doctor say? What am I supposed to do? So that is the part of it. The expectation is that we want the patient to take more responsibility for their health.
I like that. I like that. And I think a good combination for anyone who is facing this is to sit and listen to the doctor and take the information down, have the friend, and then sit down with this book, Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Practical and Spiritual Guide by our guest today, Richard Chu. And this will be his pastoral visit with you. Mr. Chu cannot go around and meet with everyone, but that's why he wrote the book, I'm sure. And this book will be that pastoral visit. And just make it a part of your library, listener, and just have it available to you so that if you receive news that says you have a chronic illness, this is the way it's going to be, you're not going to get any better, you're going to have to live with this, then grab this book. If you can't travel to New York and sit down with Richard Chu, grab this book and sit down with it, and he will give you wonderful information to help you physically and spiritually as you face the chronic illness. Once again, the book is Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Practical and Spiritual Guide by Richard Chu. That's C-H-E-U, Richard Chu. I recommend that book very highly. Richard, thank you so much for being with us. Any last words of encouragement for those who may be facing this very problem in their lives right now?
Yes. Believe and it will happen.
There you go. That's wonderful. Believe and it will happen. Well, our time has flown by. Thank you, Mr. Chu, for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for letting me be on with you.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Richard Chu inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.